and welcome to Sounding Out Horsham. I'm Anna.
And I'm Emma.
And today's guest is someone that I've wanted to talk to for a long time, but she's not really a stranger to you, Emma, is she?
No, yeah, you could say that. We're staying very close to home with this episode as we're interviewing my mum, Sue.
Mm-hmm. Sue Durdle has a very unusual profession, a profession based on her gift, because Sue Durdle is a psychic. And, well, Emma, it must have been fascinating growing up with a person having the gift in the household.
Yeah, no, it's a weird one, isn't it? I was probably in my early teens when I realised that Mum had the gift, as you call it. But to be honest, she's just a normal mum. You know, she's a great mum, but she didn't do anything that I'd really associate with being a psychic. She didn't consult the crystal ball at breakfast or anything like that. But it's been fascinating to see how she predicts things that no one would know.
Yeah.
And we'll find out when we get to talk to her.
Yeah. Welcome to Sounding Out Horsham, Sue. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you for inviting me along.
So I have been wanting to meet you for a long time. Perhaps you've heard from Emma, or perhaps you know already, thanks to your gift. Anyway, we're here now, very exciting. And just a little disclaimer before we start, because we all know that there's, of course, certain degrees of belief to these things and to what you do, because, of course, it can't be scientifically proven. But that's also why it's so exciting to talk about these things. So I guess the first question is, how did you become a clairvoyant?
Well, that's a very good question, Anna. So my mother was a clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
And around in my teens, I used to come home from school and there'd be somebody else in the house that my mother would be doing a reading for. I didn't really take that much notice. But that's what she did. She had these clients from all over the country, all walks of life, lords and ladies and goodness knows who else that used to come through the door. And it was after my mum passed in 1983, that I suddenly found myself using this gift, if you want for a better word. So it wasn't something that I actually sat down and learnt with my mother. You know, we didn't go through the tarot cards, and which is one of the tools I use.
When you say, though, you know, you say about the gift, what exactly does it mean for those of us that don't have it? I mean, with the tarot cards, which I know you use, you can learn a certain level, can't you? But
yes,
what do you mean when you say the gift?
So when I'm doing a reading, for example, I've got a client in front of me, I get messages. So they might be from somebody that's passed over. Or they could be, sorry, I'm backtracking a little bit.
That's
but when we do, I do a reading, it's not all about past. It's past, present and future. So when I get a message through, it can be, it's like listening to the radio, watching the TV and having a conversation all at the same time. So your head can sometimes feel like it's going to explode because you're trying to decipher where you're getting these messages from.
So is this constant, or can you kind of tune into this?
I only use it when I've got a client. I don't walk down the street and go past somebody, go, oh,
yeah.
You know? That has happened in the past, but I had to shut that down. But normally it's like any other job, and everybody that comes is coming for a different reason.
Yeah.
People think that you're coming because you've got a major problem going on. It's not always the case. You might come because you've lost somebody and you want to connect with them. But there's one interesting story about a guy that came to see me a little while ago. He sat down and I said, have you had a reading before? And he said, no. And I went, okay, this is how I work. We look at the past, present, future, but I can't tell you what we're going to see. You know, you might come for a particular reason, but I can't tell if we're going to pick up on that. Anyway, I sat and I babbled on for about 45 minutes and he didn't interject. He didn't have a lot to say, which is good because I don't want his information. I'm training him. And after we'd finished reading, and I said to him, is there anything that you would like to ask? And he said, I thought my old mum might have come through. And I said, well, at the end of the reading, I always do the crystal ball. And I said to him, I don't know if this is your mother or not, but I have got this lady here, and she has just got one word for you. And that word is flower. And often when I'm doing that, I have my eyes closed and I pop my eyes open and he's looking at me. He'd gone a little bit pale.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you say flower? I said, well, whoever this lady was wants me to give you that word. And he said to me, before my mother passed, he said, Mum, how will I know where you are? And she said, well, son, I'm going to give you one word. And if you go and see a clairvoyant or someone and they give you this word, you know exactly where I am. And that word was flower.
Wow.
And that was it. He did go off in a bit of a daze, but a happy daze, I hope.
Yeah.
The only thing I regret is, well, I wish I'd asked him, where did your mother say she was going to be?
Yeah.
Well, she wouldn't have known that, I guess, at that point when they were alive.
But... So, you know, I think that was quite a lovely story. And the mere fact that, I mean, I don't know what I told him before that, if it made any sense to him or not. I guess it was irrelevant because that's all he had came for and that's what he got.
You talk about the clients that come, people that come and see you for readings, but you've never advertised, have you? People have always come from word of mouth, and I know that there is always, you know, there's this level of scepticism and that psychics kind of pop up at these points where people are particularly low and then you're scamming people.
Yeah,
it's in relation to this, I would just like to take a step back because you said that your mother had the gift. I was just wondering, has this gone back further back?
My grandmother, apparently, she used to read the tea leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know my grandmother. And that's as far back as I know.
But has it... So when your mum died, you say that's when you picked things up. Was it just an instant thing? How did it... What happened?
Well, it was quite bizarre because it wasn't something that I thought I was going to do. I did other things. I was an interior designer and all sorts of things. But I never dreamt that this is what I would be doing.
Mm.
But it truly was, I suddenly started picking up on things and picking up on people. This is another example. I was on a ferry going to France with some friends and the ferry was absolutely chock-a-block. I think there was a rugby match going on somewhere because it was rugby, a lot of rugby men on the ferry as well, so it was quite noisy. And I was sitting and I saw a young man standing up and I said, oh, if I squidge you along, you can sit here. And he sat down, he said, thank you very much. And we just had a little conversation. Obviously, we were going to France. And then all of a sudden, I just said to him, maybe touching his arm, and I said, gosh, you look like your mother. And he looked at me and he said, that's what my father keeps telling me. And I went, oh. He said, my mother died when I was a baby, so I never met my mother. But he's always told me I looked like her. And it was bizarre, I suppose.
So did you told him that he looked like a mother?
Him. Did he not freak out? Saying,
yeah.
Who are you? What do you know?
Well, he looked at me. He truly was sort of quite amazed.
Mm.
And he did look at me and he went, that's what my father keeps telling me.
So then you were on the ferry and had this sort of instant clairvoyant moment then, I guess. And then you just...
Yes, Anna. And where it came from... You know, over the years, people have tried to analyse what I do. But do you know what? Actually, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happens, where it comes from. I've stopped analysing it. And I just do what I do. And I can only be guided by my clients.
Yeah, so I'm just still really, really curious to know, when you grew up, was it a big thing in your childhood, the fact that your mother was doing this and you saw her doing it and all these people coming and going?
No, because when I was a young child, my mother didn't do readings.
Okay.
For a number of reasons, but I don't think my father was really into it either. Mm. So it was a bit of a no-go, I think. And it was after my father passed away that my mother had always had this gift. Mm. And, you know, she had to support her family, so she started using it. So I didn't know until I was about 12, I suppose,
okay,
what she was doing.
Well, would she, for instance, if you were sitting around the dinner table, would she mention it? Would she say that, oh, I've seen this, or I've heard this voice, or something, things like that? No?
No.
Okay.
There was never any discussions on that. It wasn't until I was working in London and I came back home one weekend, somebody in the office who was over from Australia, and I said, would you like to come down to Sussex for the weekend? And she did, and met my mum. She was about 20 years older than me, and she got on really well with my mum. And they were discussing, this was the first open thing that I remember them sitting discussing about past lives and things. So no, absolutely not in childhood. I mean, she didn't get the cards out, stuff like that, in front of us.
I have to ask you, Emma, kind of the same thing. So you did say that Sue didn't take out the crystal ball over breakfast to predict what was going to happen in school, but did you have these kind of conversations when you grew up or around?
No, I suppose it's a similar situation, I guess, to Mum's experience, but you started off doing readings for friends, didn't you? Or giving random people on ferries messages.
just
random. No, I suppose it's not something that's really seeped into our everyday life. You know, Mum says she can sort of switch it on and off to a certain extent. I guess, I mean, how do you, like, maybe that's a good thing to find out, how you can switch it on and off.
So initially, when I first started, I must admit, my first, what I call, fee-paying client, if you like, I was a little bit nervous and thinking, oh goodness, what if they come and I don't get anything? And I have to say, most readings I forget. But this particular reading's always stuck with me because it was probably my first.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget it because I remember doing the crystal ball and getting all this stuff in my head. And I said to this lady sitting opposite me, and I said, I've got somebody called Mary here. And Mary was walking up a hill, and there was a row of cottages on the right-hand side. And as she walked up, she was holding a little girl's hand who was about 6 or 7. And as she went into this cottage, so in my head, I'm going into the cottage, and I can see gas lights on the wall. And I said to this lady, there's gas lights on the wall. And I'm looking at this person thinking, well, she's too young, gas light, we don't have that. And after the reading, she said, my grandmother lived on the brow of the hill. And I lived with her from when I was about 7. And there was gas lights on the wall, but they weren't in use.
Mm.
When you know, about sort of surprised that I was right.
Yeah. So that was like the first one that kind of remember clearly.
Yes, the others were friends or people that I'd worked with, etc. But this was, I was just then starting it as a business.
Mm. So a lot of people say that people who are clairvoyant are good just at reading people. What's your comment to that?
Right, well, that's an interesting one. So people would say, you know, you can read me. Look, I've got rings on my fingers, so I must be married. Or you were at a certain age, you might have children. But, you know, it's that saying, never judge a book by its covers.
Mm.
Because I can have somebody that comes in a Rolls Royce, but it doesn't mean to say that they're wealthy.
Yeah.
And as far as reading people, I am the world's worst. I cannot. I'm not very good judge of people. I just want to, I like everybody to be nice, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just picking up subtle signals of behaviour, I'm also thinking, rather than maybe just exterior aspects.
Behaviour, I suppose, you know, but then people come and they might be a bit nervous or, you know, sometimes you get a man that's come because his wife sent him along and he sits there with his arms folded and he's not going to believe anything you say. I have a prime example of that. This guy came for a reading and he sat there with his legs crossed to the side of the table, so he wasn't looking, wanting to look directly at me, sort of at an angle. And I said to him, I see a son. No, I said, I haven't got a son. I said, well, I see a son, but he's not with you. He's overseas. He lives in another country. No, I said, well, I get that. And I said, he's with his mother. Nope. And everything I said, he said no to. Now, most people won't say yes or no. They just go, okay, write it down or record it, whatever.
Yeah.
But he was adamant about every single thing. And I thought, well, I'm still going to say what I see. That's it. Off he went. He got onto the drive. He phoned this other friend that I'd recommended. And he said, have you been talking about me? And he went, what? Well, how does she know that I've got a son overseas? And he said, well, what did you say? He said, well, I told her I hadn't. He went, why did you say that? Well, because she knew. And he said no to everything because...
You wanted to prove...
For some bizarre reason, I mean...
So how did you know that he did have a son? Because the friends told you...
No, he didn't tell me he had a son. I was just telling him all this stuff and he'd obviously got a bit, I don't know, surprised, shocked or whatever and was trying to figure out how I knew. I just felt, well, I don't know why you've come really. Has he come to prove me wrong or what's the point of it? You don't have to lie to me because it's not my life, is it? It's your life. But it was quite amusing, I have to say.
Did he come back afterwards?
I don't think so.
What would you say the percentages of people that come along who are a little bit sceptical and those who are true, completely believing what you're going to say?
I think there's a small percentage, maybe 10% tops that would, you know, not a true believer. One recently, but they didn't actually come to see me. The wife did. Sat down with babbling away, and then I said to her, has your husband lost his car keys? I don't know, because she's sitting with me. I said, but he's lost his shoes as well. She went, don't know. Anyway, fast forward, we finished all the reading. She went off home, and they're having dinner after. And she said, oh, by the way, have you lost your car keys? She said, no. Have you lost a pair of shoes? No. Oh, okay. But half an hour later, he said, well, hold on a minute. He said, and then he started laughing. And he said, funnily enough, he said, I was running for the bus. And he had his rucksack on and the zip was open. And his car keys fell out. And as he bent down to pick his car keys up, his shoes fell out. So they started laughing because he thought it was funny. And he didn't really believe in all of this.
I guess it's quite unusual. I mean, you haven't specifically said you'll lose your car keys in this place or whatever. Sometimes I think it's an interpretation, isn't it?
Yes. So going back to what you were saying, are you just picking up on, is it telepathy? Or in that case, it couldn't have been because the wife was sitting there. She didn't know that had happened. So I don't know how that happens, but it's going from me to you to the person at home.
Yeah.
So there's no logic to that. But it was an interesting, actually, that helped him a great deal later on, interestingly enough, because within the reading, I had told her several things. And this was approximately 4 or 5 years ago. She came back to see me fairly recently. And I always ask, you know, did your reading make any sense? And she said, I tell you after we've finished the reading. And on this particular occasion, her husband sadly got cancer, and he thought he wasn't going to make it. And she said, ever so often I would get your reading out and read it to him, because he didn't believe too much. But she said, do you remember about the shoes and the keys? And he held on to that. And also in the reading, I had said that I see your husband working overseas, mainly in Europe, for a charity or something. When he got the cancer, he thought, well, that's not going to happen. 2 years later, he'd finished his chemo. Touch wood, he's all well. And when we'd finished the reading, she literally looked at her watch and she said to me, as we speak, my husband's in France, he's working for a charity overseas. And he held on to that.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? When you predict something, do people start to, you know, say if you predicted that someone would get a job overseas, maybe then they start looking.
Yes, I understand that completely. He may be guided, but that doesn't necessarily mean that offer's going to come your way. Did he go and seek that job out, or did that job come to him? I don't know. But if it just gives them hope, or if it gives them, okay, I can go for that job. I don't know if that changes their way of thinking, or is that just that's where they're going to be anyway?
Yeah. So what is a session with you? What is it like?
So you arrive and sit down, and I will go through with you, explain what I do. So I use the tarot cards. Now, I don't necessarily need tarot cards or any other tool, but I use them for my client to have something else so that they're involved. In the past, I didn't have any of those, and people used to get a little bit, how do you know that, and you haven't got any tools, basically. So I use that because then they're more involved. So I would look at the past, present and future. Now, it's not always in that order. So when I get things in my head, I might get a name, a number, for example. I might see that image for maybe 10 seconds.
Mm.
And sometimes I have to give myself a little bit of time to think about what I'm going to say or what I've seen. So that's how I work with that. I do ask if they would like to ask any questions. I prefer that my client doesn't talk too much, and that's no disrespect to them, but sometimes they get a bit carried away and I go, no, you don't need to tell me, I need to tell you. And that's what you're here for, to get the other side of the story, so to speak. And then we usually end up with doing the crystal ball, which gives me some clarity on what I've seen. That comes often in picture form. I would have the crystal ball, I would give it to my client, they hold it, and I would say to the client, was it heavy or light? Now, one particular client, it was interesting, it was only just a few months ago, she took the crystal ball off me and she was holding it. She said, so it's really funny because it was heavy just now and now it's light.
Is it just in someone's head, really, yeah. Isn't it?
Yes, and how I see it as well, because I do feel it lighter or more clarity, maybe.
Are there certain subjects that you would not bring up in a reading with someone, like death, for instance, that sort of things?
Well, yes, I mean, death doesn't come as you're going to sit down and go, oh, by the way, you know, Fred Blogg's going to pop his clock next week. But that's okay, because you're going to inherit a fortune. So it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. It's very rare that I would even mention a passing. It comes up occasionally, but not in that vein. I might see a house being decluttered, or something to do with wills and inheritance might come in there, but it's never seen as, you know, I don't
You don't foresee death.
I wouldn't venture that way with the person. That is not right.
And then at the end, so you mentioned this other man that he would refer back to his reading. So do people take notes?
They take notes.
Okay.
Now they record it, you know, put it on. I'll never forget. I mean, years ago, well, I don't remember, we used to have tapes in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one gentleman that came quite often, I would say, you know, does it make any sense, whatever? And he said, every morning I get in my car as I go to work and I put one of your tapes in. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness me, you're listening to it. I'm just like, really? But every morning he would put the tape in, listen to it.
It's just like sad your voice, man.
Oh, gosh.
So I understand that you are quite successful and you don't advertise. We already mentioned that. People come to you through word of mouth. What is a work week or a month like for you? How many clients do you see?
It varies. It's very tiring. I can't do it all day and all night. Maybe I have 2 in the morning and then I'll take the dog for a nice long walk, clear my head, and then do another 2 afternoon or evening.
Every day?
Not every day, no. I try and keep it 3 days a week, but I'm not very good because somebody will say, oh, but I need to. Okay. The thing is, I have to vary the time because I have a lot of clients in Australia now.
Oh.
So they're all by Zoom.
Yes.
You know, obviously, or WhatsApp. Mm. They're not sat in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it still works exactly the same.
Okay. It does work. Interesting.
And back in the day, it would just be a telephone call.
Yeah. Remember that back in the days when you can find adverts at the back of magazines with psychics that you could call for quite a lot of money, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're quite cool.
But so do you feel that you are communicating with the dead or with the other side, you say?
Yes.
How does that happen then? How does this communication start?
Well, they decide. I don't decide. They suddenly decide if they're going to come through. And you see them all in different ways. There was one occasion where the lady came and was doing her reading and this gentleman appeared at the side of me. He was in a RAF uniform. I could see him as clearly as you're sitting there. I could even see the little hairs on his chin. And he had this beautiful blue eyes and he was just looking at this lady.
So it's like a man was standing next to
Absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, 100% solid.
And you close your eyes then, or?
I had my eyes closed to start with and then I saw him. And I could see him looking at this lady, like he still loved her. It was beautiful, but brought tears to your eyes. I described him to her, and it was her husband.
But did you interact with him? Like he was there, like you were having a conversation, like we're talking now?
Yes, you know, you have conversations with people which are with bizarre things. They might say things like, it's about time you cleared your house out, and you're thinking, this is rude. I'm going to say to this person, excuse me, but you know, stuff like that, just normal stuff. But they've seen what's going on here,
and it's very much like you say, they come to you. You can never say, right, I want to speak to my mum or whatever.
Yes,
you can't say that doesn't happen.
No. They come in all different ways, so you can't make it up.
What's a typical client like? Is it mostly women or men or what kind of age?
It's interesting. More men are coming.
Really?
Not more men than women, but more men than...
More and more men.
Probably 30-35% of men now.
Yeah.
All ages and all walks of life. Probably ranging from about 25 to... My eldest one was 90.
And you don't do readings for anyone under 18?
I don't, no, because it'd be unfair to say to somebody of that age, oh, I see you doing this or that. You know, you can influence them. So, no.
And I'm just thinking that now, the times we're living in right now, they're very uncertain, quite scary in many different ways. And When things are uncertain around us, we turn to spirituality, a lot of us. Have you noticed this in what you do?
That's a difficult one to answer because I have people all the time coming to see me, so I can't really say that I get any more. But I think a lot of them are turning away from other religions, maybe, to see what else is out there.
Would you compare what you do to religion, actually?
No.
I'm thinking the reason I'm asking is because I think it's just a belief in something that you can't really...
I think people have to have something to believe in, whatever that is. Yeah. You need something to hold on to, whether that's religion. It can be anything. I just think that people need maybe a little bit more reassurance now.
Yeah. I mean, I can certainly see the appeal of this, but I think I see the appeal in what you do a bit the same as for religion. It's a bit mysterious, and that's just tantalizing.
Yeah.
And if it can't be proven, that's not a problem. You can believe anyway, or you can choose to
believe. Absolutely. I mean, I can't prove anything. It's only when my clients come back and tell me what I've told them, you know. For an example, this lady came to see me and I said, your friend's having a baby. That's nothing unusual in that. I said, but she will have this baby early. I don't want you to worry her because it's not going to be fine, but maybe just suggest that she gets her bag ready. She then actually went on holiday with her husband. And her husband's unpacking their suitcase. And he said, what's this card? Oh, she said, that's for my friend. And he said, but the baby's not due for 6 weeks and we're only here for two. No. The baby's going to be born on this date and it's going to be a boy. And he went, don't be daft. He said, how do you know that? They don't even know. No, she said. Sue said, this baby's going to be born on this day and it's going to be a boy. And she bought a card for a boy. And while they're away, this baby was born. On that date.
Wow.
Crazy stuff, I suppose. I don't know how you would...
Yeah.
I think a lot of the stories you have are funny, quirky moments, just moments in life that they're not necessarily big moments. I mean, obviously the baby being born is quite a big life moment. And I wonder if that's the thing, we probably take it too seriously. There's always the emphasis on it being something big, you know, like I could see, oh, don't cross the road at this time, you'll be run over.
No, they're not always big things, Emma. They can be small things. But one other thing that you've just reminded me of, I have a client now. The story started quite funnily. This lady came for a reading and I said to her, I see you going on a cruise, but you're going with a friend. I named this friend and I said, she's going to meet somebody called Ian with shiny shoes. And she went, oh, okay, wrote it down. They went on this cruise. They're in the cabin deciding what they're going to do that evening. And her friend was in the shower and she went, oh, she said they've got dancing this evening and they've got somebody called Ian that is a dance teacher. And she went, oh, you're having a laugh, aren't you? Fast forward, they go dancing, etc. She gets chatting to this guy. They sit and talk till 3 o'clock in the morning. And said, well, I'm not allowed to give you my number or anything because I'm working. But when we get to, I think it was Southampton, they exchanged numbers. Then the friend came to see me and she said, well, you told me I was going to meet this chap, and I did. And she came back for several years, and one of the last readings I did for her, I said, oh, I was just doing, I said, oh, it's got this little white spot. That's all I could see, was a little white spot inside, and I didn't want to know what that meant. And I don't remember the rest of the reading. Anyway, she came back to see me again and she said to me, I want to thank you. I said, thank you much. When I came to you, you said something about this little white spot. And so I went to the doctors to get things checked out. Within a week, I was having my spleen taken out. And I want to thank you for saving my life. She said, if you hadn't said that, I would never have gone. I don't know. Maybe she still would have gone. I don't know that. But that was her story. Which wow. was quite, yeah.
Yeah, that's a changing story.
Absolutely.
Really beautiful story, maybe to round up this conversation with. It's been really interesting to hear
thank
what you do.
Thank you for inviting. It's been lovely.
And thanks, Emma, as well.
Yeah, quite an odd one, interviewing your mum.
Yes, but, yes, sorry.
Has it changed your mind, Anna? Or are you...
No, I think I've always been curious and very interested. And I think I've remained just as curious and interested as I was before. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely to talk to you and to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Sounding Out Horsham.
We are so thankful for all the feedback we've had. And to those of you who keep listening and who subscribe, you make it worthwhile.
Yes, and now we want to ask you something. If you enjoy our podcast, we would really appreciate it if you could spread the word and tell other people all about it, or by liking us on social media and sharing our posts. We've met so many fascinating individuals since we started Sounding Out Horsham, and we'd love it if more people in the community could hear their stories.
You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for Sounding Out Horsham. And of course, don't hesitate to get in touch.